Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode will be covering Sky Cities. The city in the sky. That's not the lyrics. I forgot. Anyway.
I don't even know what. Were you trying to go with The Journey?
No, I was trying to go Spirit in the Sky, but
Yeah, that's a different song.
I know. But then I forgot the rest of the song, and I just...
Yeah. Also,
you got to commit to the bit, but sometimes committing to the bit can get you committed.
Yeah. Those are words. FYI, we're aware that the sound is going to be a little bit different this week because I just moved and we're recording in a slightly different space.
Yeah.
So, which is not Kyle's fully
got
furnished
a brand
yet.
New house.
And while it's not fully furnished and decorated, there's a sound difference. So, working on it. But anyway, back to the show. Sky Cities.
They exist in a lot of different...
Like, you sent me a list of, examples.
That was all off the cuff.
Too. And I was shocked by how many examples you came up with. Because I was, in my mind, the only example that came to my mind was... was it Columbia? From Bioshock Infinite.
Which, ironically, was one of the few that I had not heard of.
Yeah. And that and Bespin.
Obviously. From Cloud City on Bespin.
Yeah. So, but then, yeah, you had like a whole list of other ones from Avatar.
Yep. They have the floating mountains, the Hallelujah Mountains, which is still the most self-aware, absurd name for any mountain ever. And yeah. God bless James Cameron for it.
Yeah.
Because I laugh every fucking time I hear it. The Hallelujah Mountains?
Does it even count as a city, though? It's just floating mountains. Then there's... Avalor? Was it
Avalir?
Avalir. Well, and basically in Matt Mercer's Wild Mount, there are several. Well, I guess Exandria. Wild Mount had it. Like they had it in the campaign too.
Yeah.
But his Exandria universe had floating cities, sky cities in its like history, which is I think is in a couple different like high fantasy settings. Yeah. I don't know
perfect
examples, but I don't think it's a Mercer original. I think
that's not
from a bunch of sources.
Yeah.
But they demonstrate that very well, and it's really cool in Exandria Unlimited Calamity. Shout out once again, the best D&D content ever made for live play, where they are in a floating city.
Yep.
And all of its grandeur and its splendor and its arrogance.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. Sort of like a reverse Atlantis, really. Like,
oh yeah,
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 kind of like that.
Atlantis does feel like a sky city that just went underground.
Yeah, but we'll discuss that when we get eventually to underwater cities.
Yes.
Couple other examples are the air temples from Avatar the Last Airbender and the Eerie from Game of Thrones. Yeah, I will say both of those are not technically floating cities, but they are built in such high mountain ranges. Like the vibes are there, and the Eerie in particular, the way that their prison is just rooms dug into the open cliff.
Yeah.
And their death sentence is getting pushed out of the hole into and you're above the clouds anyway. Like vibes are the same. I know it's a mountain. I know it's land bound, but I don't care.
I think remove the restriction that you've added that it should be floating. I think sky cities is sky cities. It can be, if it's just way up in the fucking sky, it counts.
Okay. I'll accept that. I had added in the floating restriction, but I would be willing to open that up. I could do that for you. Yeah. Do it.
You added that for yourself, not for me. I don't give a fuck about
Kyle
your
Kyle doesn't abide by any fucking rules.
Well, especially when they weren't articulated.
Should have just assumed, Kyle, really.
But if you read the books for Game of Thrones, like, because in the show, the Eerie's really cool, and like the door and all that, but like,
The door. That's what it was.
When they have the duel where Littlefinger or where Bronn pushes the guy down there, whatever. Like, there's some really cool vibes with that.
Yeah.
But reading the books, the description of them ascending up to the Eerie, it's like a really harrowing long trek up there.
That's
and
cool.
I think that adds so much more to the fear of it, because they're also setting up like, this is a really, really defensible position because it's cold as hell. Hmm. It's dark. The elements are a problem. Like, there's avalanches. There's like, it is difficult to get to the top of this mountain to the Eerie.
Cool.
But in the show, they kind of go past that. So I think any sky city, part of the benefit is you are highly protected.
Yeah.
Because you're either completely inaccessible or, in the case of the Eerie, really
fucking
defensible.
Difficult.
Yeah. That you are, your enemies are far away from you, but you're also, if you try to, you know, you're also contained. So yeah. Like if you're in a Sky City, you can't really escape.
Mm-hmm.
Like if people invade, you're like, well, fuck, you're here now.
No, if they, I mean, you are very easily defensible, but you are also very vulnerable to siege warfare.
Yeah.
If you are a landbound Sky City like the Eerie.
Yeah. Or even if you're not in it, like, so say in like Avalir and Exandria, where they were like landing, yeah, for their like refueling or restocking, mm-hmm, or whatever. In that moment,
it was the replenishment,
something, yeah, like that. You're really vulnerable. So if you have a, mm-hmm, Sky City that decides to dock for whatever reason, which I feel like is a pretty reasonable thing to add to the world, then in that moment, it's like that's a vulnerable time,
mm-hmm,
because your one defense is being out there, mm-hmm, on the move, and now you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. If you get stuck, if you get locked there, if someone, you know, you block destroys the docking station.
Yeah.
And you need resources. That is the thing. If you don't have all the proper resources up there, if you don't have the resources or the space to grow food, you could be kind of boned.
True. Well, I mean, we even did, and as we're talking, I'm like, we did a somewhat Sky City when we talked about the flotilla.
Yeah.
What episode did we talk about this in?
Moving Cities? I think that was Moving Cities.
Did we do a Moving Cities?
We did a Moving Cities.
Okay. Well, in that one, there was the flotilla that was on the move in the sky. One.
There was that one, and it was made up of basically multiple airships that had the ability to connect together and form one giant super ship, was an idea that I toyed with and then realized that I'd had it already.
Yeah, but then I think one of the key was that there was like a big storm and that they would...
They'd form the ball.
They would form like a big ball and then be launched by the storm to get far away from it because it was super dangerous. And then,
yeah.
And they would go into like a lockdown during
instead of resisting the storm, they would just let the storm
take them. Yeah. So anyway, we had that idea once upon a time.
Yeah.
But what is your 3-word tease, buddy?
Magical Bespin.
Okay.
It's pretty. You'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. What about you?
Quite the balcony. I have a balcony. That's
I think you should go first. And I'm looking at it. It is a lovely balcony indeed. Yeah. So it's take us away.
Okay.
So, serve that dish. Dish up that pasta.
So mine is in the sky and technically floating, but it's not a moving city.
Okay.
Not in the way that I'm imagining it right now. Like there's plenty of flexibility, obviously. So I was thinking about a city that, much like the Eerie or something like that, you have to get to the top of this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top of the mountain, I'm going to go historically, there was a religious order, probably, very much like a Buddhist monks come to mind if they're in a mountain like that, who as a way to connect more with the gods, with nature, with some way, they decided to leave the earthly pleasures, but like they're leaving being on solid ground.
Okay.
And they're building through magic of some kind a city out from the mountain, just straight above,
like parallel to the ground.
Parallel to the ground.
Okay.
So like a giant balcony off this mountain. They're just building this network of a floating city that there is a,
that's cool,
that there's a pathway to. So if you walk up the mountain,
yeah,
you can just walk onto this floating city. But if you're down below, you can see it. You can see the bottoms of, like, you know, it's gonna be like a bunch of magical runes or something that is like however it's staying up, sure, there floating.
I like magical runes. That's a good one.
But it is like a,
you could also like very easily adapt that to sci-fi and just have like, oh, anti-grav engines.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
it's perfectly doable.
But the point of it being that it is a fully fledged settlement city. The size is up to you. You can make it where it's just like it's a monastery that just moved, mm-hmm, out like this, or they were the originators and now it's a full city, however you want to do it. But that it's going out over this valley, and in my scenario, I kind of wanted it to be that there was another mountain a little further away that they've connected to. So it's this big sky bridge between these, but between like on this like sky bridge, quote unquote, is this massive city overlooking this valley that the people below can see up. And potentially, if you want to add in also like, because this could be really remote, but you could make this in an area that has plenty of people, and you can add in an interesting class dynamic of this, the city's literally casting a shadow upon the poor and the farmers down below or whatever, and add in a, like a fun social like conflict through that. It's very, very like in your face metaphor, but you don't have to have it that way, because it could just be it's a city built as a way to, you know, to connect more with the gods, with some specific god. You know, say there's a cloud god. You are building a city in the clouds as a way to pay homage and to be a part of this god. And maybe the god's real, and maybe that's what's powering the city and keeping it floating, is that there are literal clouds.
By belief.
It's literal just worship of this god. He's putting these clouds here as supports to keep, you know, like I said, these are clouds that aren't, that you can't just fall through, that are as supports for a city.
I already with that line, but I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. So that there's something that's keeping them there, and the reason they're doing it can depend, but yeah, that's our starting point.
All right. I think this is a great idea. I've got a couple of thoughts immediately. I think this is a spectacular idea. I love what you said about it connecting two mountains. And having it be you could be connecting to a holy site for this religious people, right?
Yeah.
And so this act of not only building it becomes a pilgrimage, but you are also doing a sacred act by facilitating a pilgrimage from one mountain to the other, and make up a religious reason to do it that way. Maybe it's about the destination, maybe it's about the walk, but the city itself is called Bridge City. And they're connecting each other. That is one thought that is as a possibility. The other thing that I thought of was, you mentioned it covers it's so big that it covers the land below it. Over time, if this has been going on eons, because you use the word historical, I envision that it is big enough, tall enough, and massive enough to actually have its own atmosphere under it. Because like that happens in real world forests, where they're big enough that that clouds can form under canopies of trees, and it affects the ecosystem under them.
Interesting.
So what would happen if this was a big enough, you know, balcony that provides shade over this one area? How would that change the ecosystem that's covered by this area?
I feel like
maybe for just even 1 square kilometer.
Yeah, I think you'd, depending on the climate, like, do you just have a dead area where nothing grows?
Or if you have a more arid climate, but the city provides enough cover and collects water under it to form rain clouds, maybe you'd have more fertile area.
You have a little quasi oasis.
Yeah. That exists under it, because you know, there still might be enough sun getting there for things to grow from the sides.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're aware of this and they've made it out of some type of transparent glass.
Yeah. Really, this just comes down to what's the climate, what's the biome that you're looking at, because if it's
a volcano, it don't matter.
Well, then it should be volcanoes, because obviously we love volcanoes. Well, we should talk about the volcano option in a second, actually. But if it's like Himalayan, which was, I guess, the initial thought because of the Tibetan monks.
Yeah.
But you probably would be very different, because it's cold and it is arid, but there's lots of snow and whatever. Right. But if it's more like Kilimanjaro and it's near a savanna. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a very different vibe there. You know, it's if it's a two shorter mountains in the Rockies, or, you know, or like the Appalachians, you know, like the mountain range that you select will affect dramatically how you play out that below it vibe. Agreed. But that's a really good note to consider.
Just something to consider. And I'm going back. I'm changing my idea for the bridge city idea. It's the city itself is not the bridge.
Okay.
There is a city, though, a very similar city on the opposite mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the test, the pilgrimage, is you have to do a tightrope walk from city to city.
So there's two that have been built out of the mountains, but there's a gap.
There's a gap still.
I think that's pretty fucking intense.
Yeah.
To say, oh, now to finish, rather than us the just fucking like
pilgrimage, man.
I feel like a pilgrimage, you can just let them walk. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting point, nonetheless.
It's supposed to be a challenge. That's why it's called a shortcut. If it was easy, it would just be the way.
Well, who says
that line is from Road Trip 2001? Incredibly underrated movie. You should all go see it.
Okay. That's such a deep cut to a movie that is really old. Yeah.
And amazing. And you should all go watch it. Ironically, the character's name is Kyle. So
wasn't it like Chris Evans?
No. It was Sean William Scott DJ Qualls and
DJ
other guy. I mean, Tom Green was in it.
Yeah.
Brendan Meyer. Yeah.
The guy who was Corky Romano?
No.
Who was Corky Romano?
I don't remember who Corky was. That
Chris Kattan?
That was Chris Kattan.
These are some deep cuts to early 2000s actors, you guys. Well,
bro, it was a great time for cinema. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Amazing.
I like how you used the word cinema and then you went with Jay and Silent Bob.
Bro, Jay and Silent Bob is cinema when you're 12.
True. As was
13.
Talladega Nights when you're 12.
13. But yes.
Anyway,
the point is
back to the show. we're slow today.
We're doing great.
We're doing great. What were we? Okay. Now, let's circle back to this volcano thing. Let's talk briefly about if this.
Can we talk about the volcano, Kyle? I've been dying to talk to you about the volcano.
I'd rather talk about the mail. So the volcano. Okay,
we did that episode already.
So what if it is between two volcanoes?
Sure.
What does that look like? Is it any different?
No.
Hmm. Well, this was a successful.
Now, if it was over a really big fucking volcano and you had to, and the bridge was, you know, you were doing a tightrope walk across an open volcano and the bridge cities, the balcony cities were, and the bridge cities or the balcony cities were just on opposite sides of the caldera, then yeah, but it would, you'd have to have a big super volcano that's kilometer wide.
Let's pin that. This is very cool for The Burned.
Yes. It absolutely is.
So, weekly plug, go listen to The Burn.
Go listen to The Burn Pod.
Our favorite episode.
Because
it's the most specific, too.
Totally. It's great. I love the idea that it is something that is built over time, right? Like, and that was something I always thought about with the Eerie. It's like, that was built deliberately. Like, someone saw that, and it was like, we're going to build a fucking castle on top of this hill.
It's a fortress, as opposed to, like, it's a, it's building Phoenix as opposed to building London.
Yeah.
You know, a place that came up organically and thus has interesting character and idiosyncrasies that are only there because it was developed over time. This city was built over it was built out of this mountain, and originally it may have just been, we will build a balcony over out over this mountain to be a sacred space for us to go and to really commune with this cloud god or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
maybe
it became,
it's the floor from like a hanging temple or something, right? Like,
yeah. And then
hanging temple. That's cool.
That is cool. And then they built further out because they needed more room.
Yep.
And then they were like, actually, the monastery is growing. We could just use this space now for the monastery, for housing.
Yeah.
And then they push it further. And then they have a settlement starts to arise because more people start worshiping this god, and they go up there, and then over time you're building it, and you get to see like this initial expansion and then this rapid expansion over time,
right?
Because then they realize, actually, we should just complete the bridge, we should just build across this thing to the other side. Or maybe if you cut out the fact that there's a second mountain, it could just be that they're building it out in a 360 degree thing around the edge of the mountain, so that the mountain has like a hat. It's just like a wide.
Just- the mountain has like a hat.
Watching you actually actively crack up there, watching your face as you were going to hold it back, and you're like, I gotta go. I gotta let it rip. But like, imagine
a mountain hat on the mountain, man.
It has like a wizard's hat because it's got a little, because
above why it, does it have a fucking cone, man?
It has a comb?
Cone. Wizard's hats are pointy.
Yeah. But then if, because like, you're not building it from the absolute peak, you're building it from like a little bit down from
you
the peak.
Did not specify.
Well, I'm just going with like I'm not saying it's a big cone.
But it's a little, you guys missed it.
It's
he
more
drew
of like
a circle around his head when he said it.
It's like a sombrero. It's like a really wide brim hat.
You're making it worse.
I don't think I am. I think I'm making it better. Oh, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Sombrero. Yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo. Oh, God. I want to declare independence from you.
too bad you can't.
You can't. Oh, that was great. I love it. No, I think it's good. And I think you could flavor it religiously. You could flavor it as a religious endeavor. What would also be cool is if you took the bridge concept and like had, say there were two cities and you could do it for commerce and trade reasons, and then you could just be like having people do super long zip lines back and forth. And like ziplining products and resources to each other.
Way back when, I think one of our first episodes, don't listen to it, I think in Geography of the Natural World, we talked about the idea of a city, of like people like living on plateaus that were separated or something, where it's like little islands of like disjointed civilization where people would catapult like giant nets full of stuff from place to place. Do you remember this?
I don't.
Yeah,
I believe you, but I don't.
And then we were talking about people sending each other, like people getting in the catapults and being launched by it, which was very frowned upon, but you're supposed to just launch supplies. So then trade would happen by catapulting commodities and whatever you've, like, you know, in goods across it. But anyway,
it sounds like something we'd come up with.
Yeah, this was like, you know, episode 3 or something like that. Don't listen to episode 3. Don't listen to the first, like, 20 episodes. They're bad. Anyway, so that's my idea.
Cool. Now,
Ethan, why don't you tell me about Magic Bespin?
Kyle, I'm going to...
Would you tell me the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
I'm altering the deal. Pray don't alter it any further. I'm going to ask you a science question, Kyle. How much does a typical cloud weigh? Do you know?
It's either a lot or a little. It is not going to be...
Tomorrow, the weather will be between negative 20 and 140 degrees Celsius.
But you know what I mean. You only ask the question because it's like, it's all water, right? It's all like condensation.
Correct.
So it's probably really heavy because it's just a lot of fucking water.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's
correct. So I'm going to say an average cloud weighs... 10 tons.
Ooh, way under that. You are way under. So according to the U.S. Geological Survey, a 1 cubic kilometer cloud contains 1 billion cubic meters. Therefore, doing the math, 1 billion times 0.5 equals 500,000 grams of water droplets in our cloud. That is about 500,000 kilograms or 1.1 million pounds, or around 551 tons. It's a lot of water.
Yeah.
It's a lot of material.
Yep.
So my idea for this cloud city is I originally...
Bottle it and sell it to the American public.
My idea for this non-capitalist cloud city...
fine.
Yeah.
Bottle it and give it to our fellow comrades.
There you go. End of episode. What stuck for you? No.
Communism.
Communism. The pitch here is instead, I feel I was doing a lot of thinking and I felt like every cloud city is always, or sky city is always affiliated with air types, right? You know, air elementals, bird, people, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I wanted something different. And I started thinking, well, clouds are up there. They're hanging out. What if water mages lived in the clouds? And so I came up with this idea of
just living in clouds.
Within a cloud, there's a group of water mages that you, incredibly advanced water mages. Like, we're talking, you know, level 20 D&D terms, like peak everything, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to be to live up there, because it is still a cloud. So everything that you build up there, any structure that exists up there, has to be maintained by pretty much constant ongoing concentration to keep the, to keep both the cloud moving and any structure that you have up there made out of the cloud, made out of the water, to keep it all afloat. And that's the idea, is a group of water mages living up in a gigantic cloud that have enough mass up there, mm-hmm. of water to keep themselves both hidden and suspended. But because they are also water made, anytime they start gathering enough and you start seeing storm clouds merge, you know, they start seeing storm clouds form under or around them, they can magic it away and keep themselves safe.
Okay, so it's only them living there?
In this idea, yes.
Okay. How many are there?
1,000 or so.
That's a lot of fucking mages.
It's a lot of mages. Well, you would need an entire city of mages to keep this thing going.
And I imagine you get enough to start it, then mm-hmm. you need to, like, you have enough skill then to keep training people. Like,
correct.
Because you have the expertise now.
Correct. And the way that I envisioned it started was there was a group of them that met at, like, the peak of a cliff, right?
Uh-huh.
And they gathered, using their magic, they gathered ambient water and clouds into the air around them. And then one of them took their first step and, using magic, like, caused water to condense under their foot and just hold themselves aloft under the cloud, on top of the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then they took another and another. And so they're called the Cloud Walkers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're whispered, they're rumors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You have, because the level of skill that you need to be to even get up there is absurd.
Yeah, yeah. So then,
because the only way to get up there is to be a water mage of sufficient skill that you can walk in the clouds, that you can,
yeah,
cloud walk your way up there, form your own little flying cloud, little flying nimbus like Goku from Dragon Ball Z, and then fly your way up there.
I think it's really cool. I think the mythology that you'd create, like the legend of the Cloud Walkers, would be really cool.
Yeah. And they'd be dope. And some people would probably see them as storm gods. Some people would probably see them as
just like
the deep state, like controlling everything. Or
just like cloud nymphs.
Yeah.
They're just like the creatures that live in the clouds and they don't realize they're humans.
Yeah.
They're just really talented mages.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. Cloud nymph, that would also be great. If you didn't want them to be water mages, they're just nymphs, like
they're just
cloud or water spirits that live,
yeah,
in the point is they're not air spirits. The point is they're not bird people. They're right, like it's that,
yeah,
that's what I wanted to challenge myself to get with.
Yeah.
To get towards.
You want to get with water mages? Okay, cool. So
I'm an earth guy, it'd be like, you know, get muddy.
I'm more of a fire guy. Just, you know. I mean, I get your point.
Yeah.
I think for me, the point is that there are people who have controlled the clouds enough to live in them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the point. I don't think the point to me is that it's about water, not air. I think...
No. That was how I got there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just like,
that was the constraint that I gave myself.
I think having like nymphs or spirits or whatever is a cool little thing, but I think it's such a... You can just... Like, that is so such a throwaway versus mm-hmm. this has meat on it of... You actually can interact with these people. You can, yeah, become one of these in theory.
It's a great quest destination.
Yeah. Can you go into the clouds?
If
it's like
someone has, like, think about being invited there. Like, yes,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
can. But the minute someone decides they don't want you there, they just stop concentrating on what's the cloud, bit of cloud that's holding you aloft, and you fall.
Yeah. 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 It's
like you have to behave.
Yeah. It's very much it is the. Like in an RPG, it's the final, like it's an end game zone.
Yeah.
It's a place you're only able to access when you are powerful enough, you're connected enough, because say you do fuck up and lose mm-hmm. access and they drop you, you need to have a contingency plan to save yourself.
Right.
Like, can you teleport out? Yeah. Can you could just feather fall. I mean, if you're playing D&D and you have a level one wizard, but the point being, like, you definitely, it's a place you go really late to whatever you're up
exactly.
to. If you wanted to merge in plenty of, like, you know, from a D&D perspective, there could also be cloud giants who live there with these humans, and that, like, these mages are friends with these cloud giants, and they've
and maybe water elementals just there was enough ambient there was enough ambient magic energy from just keeping the cloud city aloft that water elementals just started emerging naturally, like accidentally, but it was
Or maybe not even accidentally, maybe like kind of like a kid builds a snowman.
Oh yeah.
That these water mages could have just
built. Because what would it look like instead of making golems, you would make water elemental. Right.
Yeah, like just kind of throw it together.
Yeah.
Like, oh cool, I have a water elemental now.
Yeah.
But so from a day-to-day perspective, which, like, you can hand wave and say it doesn't matter, but like what are there structures, or is it just water? Are they sleeping just in water? Are they eating just water?
Like, no, they're not eating water. I actually imagine that they were very good archers and taking out birds. But again,
they don't have to be archers. They just maneuver the clouds.
You could do that too.
And then just like drown the birds.
Yeah, but I also really liked the idea of making like holding your hand up into the cloud and then a spear of ice shows up out of nowhere, and then you hurl it at a rock,
or you just okay.
You could do both. No, I'm just saying it was a vibe.
No, I'm
stop
going.
Stop judging me.
Let me talk. I'm yes anding you, or I'm no butting you, whichever one you want to go with. But what if it's that they steer the cloud, and then they still like they summon like an ice spear, and they just like spear fishing. They just they get close enough to the bird, and then just stab it with a like a trident or something.
So they
can really, you know, like you would if you were spear fishing,
right?
And just grab the bird with that, and then pull it back in.
Yeah,
or just like
And it would be relatively, quote unquote, relatively easy for them, I think, to adapt to living in the sky over time, because the physics of air are the same, if I remember high school physics correctly. Water and air operate under the same laws of physics, like as far as compression and pressure and flow and stuff. I think they're very similar, if not the same. Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm old as fuck. But the point is, I think you could. So day to day, are there structures? I will leave that up to you. For me, I'm leaning into you're living in a city of raw material. So if you want to sit down, all you have to do is sort of will a chair made out of cloud and water and ice to form under you, and then you can sit down on it. And it maintains for as long as you're concentrating on it. And then you stand up and it goes back into the cloud. If you need to provide shelter, you can swirl clouds around yourself into a dome and get privacy that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you. If you want to think of it as a full society, then yeah, I could see that you would have people whose job it is only to concentrate and maintain the infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
I could see that. I could also see it as every mage just sort of does it for themselves. I think it's more impressive if there are structures naturally.
Yeah, I think there should be
structures. I'm gonna hand wave the physics and say, oh, if I made an ice sculpture out of this in this cloud and just hit it, it would be heavy enough to fall through. It'd be like, well, magic. So I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there should be structures of some kind, and yeah, maybe just hand wave it.
What would be very cool, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, if there were structures, you could have a way, and maybe this is a product that they have or what they engage in commerce. If you could manipulate clouds correctly enough, you could form lightning very easily between clouds and have electricity or a form of electricity.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. Yeah. I don't know enough about clouds or lightning, but
yeah, I mean,
I know lightning and clouds are up there.
You just do whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, do you imagine that it's, if it's like one group, are they in multiple clouds or is it just one big cloud?
At the moment, it's been one big cloud, but you can also, again, flying Nimbus your way back down to Earth if you need and then get back up.
Yeah. Okay. But then so what if this cloud is massive? The biggest cloud, just like it's Jupiter's big red dot. And it's moving across the land and very much adding to, going back to the mythology of it, is you see this massive cloud that's like always like the same basic shape. So it becomes well known. People go, oh, that's the cloud, or there's probably some term for it. And it takes on a whole other meaning in life.
Like an omen, a harbinger of something. Yeah,
like what does it mean? And it often means no rain, because they aren't letting go of the water.
Right, they need it. That's their replenishment, is they're
holding on,
gathering all the water to them to...
So people see that and they just go, oh, well, we're fine. Like, we don't have to worry about rain.
Or maybe it's a drought.
Maybe, but if they're moving, it won't be... they'll be
depends on how fast they move.
I imagine they're moving fast enough.
I do too, but I'm saying it would be a reasonable fear. I could see that. If you were in desperate need of water, if your crops were struggling and you saw them come by, you would not be thrilled. If it had been a particular drought, or maybe if there was already a drought, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Because there
are, I like your point about no rain. That I think is worth hanging on to.
Yeah.
But it will manifest differently.
Because it could just basically be a manifestation of, we're going to have 3 days of overcast, but no rain.
Yeah.
And it's like a guarantee.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's kind of negligible. And from a world building perspective, you're not going to do much with it. But it's just kind of the implications of what you do with it. Do you create something that is actually impactful for the world? Or is it just kind of the vibe of it? But the idea that it is one big cloud that has this mythology that, like, oh, that's where the spirits live. That's where the nymphs live. Like, you know, because they've maybe seen the little, like, you know, the flying
nimbi
coming off of that cloud,
yeah,
going down somewhere and then going back up.
It would also be really cool for that to, let's remove the nymphs. Let's remove any reference of water to it. What if that's where the iconography for angels came from? Like, even, oh, right? Like, we have this Western belief of, like, love, oh, that's, they're little babies with harps and halos in the clouds, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that would make sense.
I love it.
That's not that big of a leap.
Yeah. Okay. And here's another idea on that. In a slightly different angle of, what if they are going down and they're walking around normally, and they're this famed order of mages that nobody knows where they live. They're obviously super powerful. They use magic when they're around. They are like revered, feared. There is an air about them, pun unintended. And nobody knows where they reside. There's no mage tower. There's no guild. There's no anything. But there's these spottings of, like, really potent mages who are all wearing these strange outfits because they live in a fucking cloud. So they're wearing, like, I don't know, ponchos. Like, what are they wearing up in those clouds? Maybe nothing. I don't know. Like, there's some,
I like the poncho. I'm going to stick with poncho. Poncho is great. I love the poncho. That's great. Or they're all walking around in, like, those, what are those gliding suits? Those wing suits.
Yeah. They've all got,
Things between their arms.
Yeah. Like, there's something, there's some odd
glide suits. That's what I meant. Yeah.
There's some odd outfit about them. And there's, like, this magic aura about them, and they're walking around and they're going around and getting supplies, going to talk to merchants. They might be
politicians, mage schools.
They're doing something. Sure. Like, they're conducting business, and then they just fuck off and disappear, and people are people will, like, follow them to see where do they go. It's like in Harry Potter, whenever they're trying to find out where the room of requirement is. Do you remember that, where it's like Filch and is like trying to, like, stalk all all the kids, like, where the fuck are they going? And they just disappear. And he's like, oh my God, they're gone again. And you're like, you have that, but over the course of decades.
Right. You've got people that have gone insane, being like, they walked off the cliff. I went to the cliff and they disappeared, but there were no bodies. They just walked off the cliff.
Like, take the UFO people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then make it actually very, like, verifiable, where everyone goes, yeah, you all saw that guy.
Yeah.
I followed him. He disappeared.
Yeah.
And I think that could be really fun. And you create, again, like, finding ways. Well, and it's finding ways to connect something that could otherwise be really disconnected from a world, finding ways to connect it to the world.
Yeah.
Because, if it's just in like an RPG or something, if it's just a place that you go on a quest once upon a time and it's like, oh, this like mythical world way up in the clouds, like that can be cool. But what if that's been built because you've interacted with one of those mages or a couple of mages before and you've been like, oh, like what's their deal? And you're like, oh no, they live in the fucking clouds.
It's like, oh, that's,
oh, and now we get to go to the clouds. What the fuck? Okay, this is cool.
It's like, that's Rainer of the Cloud Walkers. Like, you just encountered them.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and like, oh, that, but it's kind, but of, maybe, but they're not, they don't know them as the Cloud Walkers because no one really knows that they're, maybe not, the clouds.
But it's, this actually, what you just said is giving me similar vibes to the difference in lightning bending between Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, where it was this rare mystical thing in Avatar The Last Airbender that only like three people did. Yeah. And then in Legend of Korra, everyone's doing it and it's how they power their steampunk world.
Yeah, Korra really just like escalates how frequently available those like rare bending combos were.
But it's also what would happen.
Yeah.
And they would figure out a way. I thought it was actually brilliant.
Yeah, like over time, you just, the skills just become more peripheral. Like, yeah, how many people,
they become more learnable.
Yeah, like how many people now understand first aid on like, totally, a decent level compared to 150 years ago, where it's like, well, once we figured out how to do this shit, we're like, everyone's just learning it. And they're like, oh, all the, like, how many people, yeah, how many people know some degree of coding now compared to 1991?
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, the,
absolutely,
yeah, skills just get proliferated. But anyway,
so that's, so Cloud Walkers.
Okay, yeah. All right, well then let's move on to newly rebranded frozen lasagnas.
Microwave dinner.
Let's throw it in the microwave real quick and
press start, Kyle.
1 minute. All right. My idea is take a cloud giant, take a god, something of that caliber, have them be super tall. You know, like a mountain size.
Yeah.
And then there's like a city on the top of their head or like on their shoulders, like just on top of them. And they're just walking. And they are like actively interacting with the people who live there.
Oh, that's cool.
Much like an ant or something, or like the dragon turtles or something like that. But it's,
yeah, yeah,
they're moving. And so, but they're moving with like joints and stuff. So there's a bit more of like a peril of, oh shit, like, please don't rotate. Like,
yeah,
like he'll announce, I'm gonna turn my head, and then everyone like has to brace.
You gotta go into like lockdown mode.
Or no, it's just grab onto something while he turns. But that's like cool. He like makes announcements before he does things, because people are living on top of him in the sky.
That's cool.
Super high up. And it's like as a protective measure because it's really dangerous below, but these people have like earned the respect of this entity. And so he's like, I'll let you live on my head or on my shoulders and you will be safe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I dig that.
That's what I got.
I dig that. Cool.
What do you got?
A low flying, I'm not going to call it a meteor. Let's call it a satellite that exists just within the bounds of the atmosphere. It is not being pulled down to the world, though. But the people that live there, you know, it's just sort of floating there like a small moon kind of thing. The people that live there, though, it's all very anti-gravity because you're so far away from Earth that like gravity's pull is lessened.
Okay.
I don't know why it's there. I don't know how it got there, but it's just kind of floating there and it moves, like it rotates like the moon, you know, it follows an orbit and it's like the zero gravity satellite city.
Ding. All right.
Yeah, dig it.
All right, well then, let's move on to what stuck for you.
For me? Moi? I'm still thinking about what the environment... I mean, I'm obviously thinking about my own Cloud City because I think Cloud Walkers are dope. But I'm thinking... I think what stuck for me is really figuring out, with your balcony city, what would that do to the environment under it? Like, would you have its own climate forming under it if it was big enough? Would you have clouds... Would it be tall enough to have clouds forming under it and have like its own ecosystem? What would that do, right? If there was enough magic, if these are powered by magical runes, would the presence of that magic being constantly on maybe mutate or radiate the land underneath it? What would it do to it?
Yeah.
You know, what are the environmental,
yeah,
side effects of it? I don't know why, but I'm sort of stuck on that.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes sometimes. Yeah. You get stuck on a weird thing.
Yeah. What about you?
What stuck for me was two things. The the vibe and that feeling of going to the place that like the high level zone of it all, of going to the cloud and being like, oh, this is like an end game activity that's available to us. Fuck, we're in the cloud. What the fuck? Like that little moment,
this is
which
the
like
boss level,
which I've experienced in so many like MMOs and stuff I've played over the years, where you go to a place and you're like, oh, this is intense. Like that's really cool. Going to the cloud, and then the balcony city, like having it be like the progressive development where they slowly, where like, oh, we're just gonna like commune better with our God, we're gonna have the hanging or the floating temple or whatever, however you said it, the hanging temple. Like that first step, I really enjoy.
Yeah,
that like, oh, we can do this, and then like what that would have meant, what that would have felt like, and then going to that place for that first time, probably, like, you know, if you go to that before they've developed the whole thing, that whole vibe could be really cool. Before it becomes like a sprawling location. I really enjoy that, because then it's small and it's intimate, but it's clearly really fucking magical that they've done that.
Agreed.
And you're like, whoa, like that's pretty cool. That's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Peace.
We'll have our audio fixed next time.